Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the confessional here at Car Talk Plaza. Actually, once again. From the confessional here at Car Talk Plaza.
And if you've been listening regularly, and we know you haven't, I mean, why would you? So I guess I should say, since you haven't been listening regularly, we've been asking listeners to send in automotive confessions. And we've been reading some of the ones that made us laugh.
Yeah, like the guy who wondered what those bolts were for in his Porsche. And when he removed them, the engine fell on his toe. That made me feel better about my skill set, you know?
Well, here's another one. One that is as interesting as that. This one is from a guy named Guy. Oh, do I dare give his name? Sure.
It may be too embarrassing. Read it first, and then we'll decide.
Dear Click and Clack, that would be us.
Yeah.
Back in the early 80s, our family had a mid-70s Winnebago. One time when we were driving to a campground on the Olympic Peninsula, the fuel pump started to act a bit dodgy.
That means like a Dodge?
Yeah, Dodge Caravan. The Winnebago was hesitating from time to time when accelerating, but ran better at higher speeds. At one point, Dad took his foot off the gas to slow down, and the engine died. We waited 2 hours for someone to drive by, but we didn't see a single car. Getting dark. And my younger brother
stormy
and I...
probably, too.
Dark and stormy night. My younger brother and I were beginning to be frightened by the Bigfoot stories that my older brother was telling us. Anyway, Dad had served as a submarine officer for about 20 years and took pride in being able to find solutions with limited resources. That's like us.
Limited intellectual resources.
So he took the engine cover off. This is where the engine is inside the vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
You had one of those.
Yeah.
So he took the engine cover off, and he took off the air filter to reveal the throat of the carburetor. Then he crawled under the camper, disconnected the fuel line, and drained about a quart of gasoline into a plastic Kool-Aid pitcher.
I can see it now.
He poured the gasoline into the carburetor.
Of course.
While my mother cranked the engine. And it started roughly. She put it into gear, and with billows of smoke belching from the tailpipe and a few jerky thrusts forward, we were rolling.
Yippee!
Then Dad saw the fuel pump, which he had forgotten to reconnect. And what was it doing? Squirting fuel on the hot engine. The resulting fuel-air mixture was blown into the cab by the radiator fan.
What are the chances of that?
In his astonishment, he stopped pouring fuel into the carburetor. This caused the engine to backfire, igniting the fuel-air mixture in the cabin with an impressive poof of bright orange light and black smoke. My sister, armed with a fire extinguisher, screamed and began spraying the entire cabin. She extinguished all fires except for the one on the smiley Kool-Aid pitcher. Dad threw the pitcher out the window and into the forest, setting, of course, some small underbrush and a small tree on fire. We put out the forest fire with the remainder of the fire extinguisher, but not before a big gray cloud rose up to join the black one from the camper. Dad set out on foot to find the nearest phone, covered in chalky powder and polyester clothes that were shrink-wrapped to his body. Somebody must have seen the smoke, because after a few minutes, fire trucks started racing up and down the road with lights and sirens going as they looked for the fire. Dad figured Bigfoot was probably friendlier and less threatening than the EPA agent, so he ran into the forest to hide each time a fire truck sped past him.
Good thinking.
Thank God we all ended up okay, except for the smiley Kool-Aid pitcher. When we found it, we noticed its smile had melted into a frown, making it even more difficult for my parents to convince my younger brother and me that inanimate objects have no feelings. Guy Harper, he's a combat medic in the 10th Infantry Division at Fort Drum, New York.
And I'm sure he's just as resourceful as his dad. And we won the war, eh?
I mean, can you see that happening?
Can I see it? I could have done it.
It's kind of frightening.
Anyway, if you want to confess, you'll find the confessional on our website, cartalk.com. But if you want to confess right now, you can give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Linda Valley from Fort Wayne.
Linda.
I'm sitting here with a whole class of 8th graders, and they're being very quiet.
They are.
8th graders. See, now, those are the ones that are the smartest people in the world. As soon as they get finished with 8th grade, tell them not to come back to school ever again. Everything that they will learn from then on, they will never use.
No, no. You know what happens? All the useful stuff you learn up until 8th grade, anything you learn after that, you're going to crowd out all the stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, and then you forget the important
thing. You forget those state capitals.
You remember what Sherlock Holmes said? The mind is like an attic, and for everything that you cram in there, something else has to come out. So,
unless your wife is doing it.
Do you want them to forget everything for the sake of learning, for example, calculus, which they will never use?
Yeah. It won't help them figure out their car problems.
You ain't just a kid.
Anyway, what's your car problem?
My problem is I've got a 91 Honda Accord EX. Mm-hmm. And I've only owned it since this past fall. So this is my first winter with it. Yeah. I've got all 4 new tires on it. I've got Firestone tires. And there's nothing wrong with it till I hit slippery roads. And it doesn't just fishtail. The whole thing just, like, levitates above the ground.
Ooh, dangerous.
And we've had the tires siped, and that doesn't do anything at all.
Yeah.
And we've put weight in the trunk, and that doesn't help.
And it didn't do this with the previous tires.
It did do it with the previous tires, and that's why we put new tires on it.
What?
Ah, but you didn't have Firestones on there before.
Actually, there was 2 on there of the ones that I have and 2 other ones that were harder and older. So we took those off and put on 2 that matched the 2 that were on there that were pretty new. They were probably only 6 months old.
But you've never driven this car with anything but Firestone tires on there.
That's right.
And you bought these at a reputable tire store.
Oh, sure. Firestone store.
Well, sort of, yeah. I think they
just sort of. Was it like out of the back of a truck? What sort of mean?
Well, it's you get them a lot cheaper than anywhere else in town.
Yeah.
So they say they're not really seconds or anything, but they're supposed to be okay.
And have you taken this to any place other than these guys?
Yes.
And what is?
They checked the pressure in the tires and fixed some of them, but that didn't help either.
Has anyone checked the alignment?
No, but the car drove fine before we got the new tires and had them siped, and now it pulls to the left.
Yeah,
But it did this before, too.
Right, because the alignment's been off forever.
You think so?
Yeah.
And I'd be willing to bet a
quarter.
Does
it feel like you're driving on bowling balls?
Yeah.
There you go.
When it's slippery.
Well, I mean, every condition that results from improper alignment is exacerbated when it's wet.
Exacerbated.
Made worse.
That's a good word.
Yeah, that's an eighth grade word.
That's a ninth grade word. They're never going to be able to use that word.
Oh, those unfortunates.
Are they still sitting there quietly?
They are still sitting here quietly, watching me.
Do any of them want to participate and say anything, like say, you know, cause
any
trouble?
I could have them say hi to you.
That would be great.
In unison?
In unison. Everybody say hi, click and clack.
Yeah.
Shut up and stay in your seats.
You're all staying after school.
All right.
No lunch 1 year.
Okay, I'll call you back next time about the fish that fell through my sunroof.
That's why it's fishtailing. See you, Linda.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Mark Osmers in Phoenix, Arizona.
So what's up, Mark?
I have a 1991 Ford Explorer. It's got 167,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that I'm having trouble getting the truck into gear. It's actually a 5-speed.
No kidding. I didn't even know they made one.
Oh, yeah.
Then I found out it was a hydraulic clutch.
Oh, yeah. And worse than that, the slave cylinder
is buried.
Is inside the bell housing.
That's not good.
Isn't that the stupidest? We'll explain what all this stuff is in a minute, but go ask your question.
When I'm leaving from a dead stop and I let out the clutch, I get a metal-to-metal sound. It's like, ee!
Oh, that's good.
That's good?
Yeah, well, it is good.
Good as in cheap, or?
No.
I don't think good was the right word.
I mean,
it's sort of like when your doctor says, well, I have to take out your appendix and I'm going to take out everything else inside you at the same time.
So what, am I going to discount?
Because it's all broken. And you say, good.
Good. That kind of good.
So it's that kind of good. So you have to take out the transmission on this vehicle to get at the clutch release bearing, which is also the clutch slave cylinder. It's all one shebang in this thing.
Okay.
So once the transmission is out, you would want to replace the clutch anyway. You would never go through all that without replacing the clutch.
Right, and the grinding sound tells you that it wouldn't have been a waste of time.
Right. So the clutch needs to be done too, and you may need to have the flywheel resurfaced or replaced. Maybe there is no flywheel left.
Yeah, I mean, because your clutch is real. If it's grind, if you hear that noise, the clutch is really quite gonzo.
What's happening is the rivets are being ground up either by the pressure plate, which would be lucky, or by the flywheel, which, considering everything else that's wrong, would be just a minor inconvenience.
He's going to need a flywheel. He's going to need the slave cylinder. He's going to need all the clutch parts.
Yeah.
And it's going to cost them
$1,000. Okay, Mark. See you later, baby.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks for the good news.
Wait, before you go, just say, that's good.
Good.
That's my brother's definition of good. I don't understand it either, but thanks for calling.
You bet.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Hi. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Beth. I'm calling from Solomons, Maryland, and I drive a 93 Ford Explorer, and I need you to solve a disagreement between me and my children.
How many kids are involved, and what are their ages and gender?
There's three. My oldest is 11, and she's a girl. Then I have
girl.
An 8-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl.
And they're giving you a hard time?
Yeah, if you can imagine that.
Have you learned the magic of the dope slap?
This isn't working for that.
This is the Dr. Seuss method of child rearing.
Right, and there are before we go on, there are two kinds. There's the traditional dope slap, and then there's the ever popular
nuclear,
very effective surprise dope slap.
Well,
which always works.
Yeah,
the
but
best.
That's not always so safe when you have to reach to the back seat and you're driving down the highway.
Yeah. Oh no, that's where the surprise dope slap comes in. It can be administered anytime
you want,
any place. You're at a ball game, they get a dope slap.
Yeah, and you say, hey, what did I do? You remember last Thursday?
When I couldn't get to you. Anyway, go ahead, Beth.
Okay, the issue is the dome light on the inside of the car. We end up traveling a lot at night because, you know, it's always my fondest hope that they'll fall asleep in the car when we're on the way home.
Yeah, and but, shut the heck up.
They want to read and play games and things that involve lights. And I know from when I was a kid, my father would always have just a major tantrum. He would be upset when we put one of the dome light on because he said, oh, no, it's against the law to drive that way and there's too much glare. So I tell my kids the same thing. It's like, oh, I can't drive with the light on because there's too much glare and I can't see as well. And they're like, well, I can see just as well. But, you know, sometimes I turn it on and I don't notice all that much difference.
You don't?
No, but what I want you to resolve is the fact, is it safe to drive with the inside dome light on at night?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, that's not helpful.
Well, I mean, if you actually don't notice any difference, usually the problem is if it's dark outside and there's a light on inside, you'll get reflections from the inside on the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously not a good idea because you're not going to be able to see what's beyond the windshield if the reflection is there.
But it also makes it difficult to see, to use your rearview mirror.
Yeah, no, you can't see out the rearview mirror very well.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the important stuff is going on in front of you, but there are a few important things behind you.
Yeah.
So it's probably not illegal to drive with the dome light on, but it's certainly not, in my book, a good idea.
So you're siding with me.
Yeah, we're siding with you.
Of course, Beth.
Because I'm the parent.
You're the parent, and safety is more important than their entertainment.
Here's what we bought for our kids, and they sell them at almost all bookstores.
I was going to suggest it.
A clip-on reading light.
Yeah.
And that would be down low enough behind the seat.
Exactly. It would be down low behind the seat. It would be focused right on the page they happen to be reading from, and it probably will not interfere with you.
All right.
And you're driving.
Right. And if it does, they can always throw a blanket over their heads to cover themselves, the book, and the light, so you won't be able to see anything. You won't even know they're there. You might lock them in the car and go in the house after the trip
is over. And they won't even fight with each other because they won't be able to see each other.
Oh, the likelihood of that happening is like
practically zero, I know.
Yeah.
So you can tell them that it is dangerous and they can't do it anymore. Come up with some games that don't require seeing.
Well, these three kids ride in the car together, 6, 8, and 11, and they would rather read than tease each other?
Oh, you know, they can manage to do both at the same time.
Yeah, they can,
of course, yeah.
They're very talented.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Beth. But get him those reading lights. They're great.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look. It's time for me to ask my brother whether he remembers last week's puzzler and what excuse he's come up with this week for forgetting it.
I don't have an excuse.
I knew it.
Because
you
I remember
up.
The puzzler.
Get out.
Get out is right.
You know, I did see you last week take a scrap of paper.
Yes.
And write on it something.
Yes.
And I assumed you wrote on it, don't forget the puzzler.
Yeah.
And maybe some other little bit of information.
Yes, I did.
And do you have that piece of paper?
I haven't changed my shirt since then, and it's still in my pocket.
And what does it say?
It says, Rome.
Ah, that's good.
And the puzzler was about the archaeologists.
You're very, very good.
Who found a Roman city and concluded that they traveled on the left side of the road.
Gee, I can't believe it. And anyway, we'll have the whole story in just a few minutes, so stay tuned.
Whoopee!
What?
The sun was shining one noon in July by Dead Man's Curve off Highway 5, just past the Crate and Barrel and the Olive Garden. I pulled up to a stoplight and idled the engine when the guy in the other lane caught my attention. He said, "You want a race?" I said, "I beg your pardon." You see, you may drive a Lamborghini with a 12-cylinder engine that accelerates obscenely fast in 700 newton meters at maximum torque, but I got something better on my side, 88 horsepower of American pride. When I smoke you, boy, you're gonna look like quite the dork. So come on, go, little light blue Saturn. Let's roll right down the street. Oh, no, what's the matter? I think I made my light blue Saturn overheat.
And even though NPR's structural engineer calls for a removal of a key load-bearing beam, which is just under our studio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk...
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean...
old. Previously aired, you know.
Exactly. Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this comes from the wonderful world of ancient history and transportation.
Yes.
My brother has remembered.
I didn't figure out the answer, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good, because you won't get to spoil that. Anyway, here it is. Some time ago, a team of British archaeologists came upon some ancient Roman ruins. Among them, a stone quarry, a nearby fortress or outpost of some kind, and what appeared to be a small town or settlement, you know, some houses or maybe some livestock pens or a place to store grain. You with me so far?
I just got the hint that I missed last week.
Anyway, all of these things were connected by roads, those famous stone roads that the Romans built. In fact, they probably obtained the stones for the roads from the very quarry that they discovered, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Anyway, after some careful observation, these archaeologists determined that the Romans drove their carts and wagons, and probably chariots too, on the left side of the road, just like the Brits do. The question is, how did they know this?
Well, I think the hint was when you said they came upon some ancient Roman ruins, among them a stone quarry.
The stone quarry. Big hint.
It is.
Big hint.
And I know. I know it is.
And I wanted to say, I was going to say, I didn't think it was necessary, that the signs were in the road, so to speak. And
Facing the left, yeah.
What they found is that the ruts in the road leading from the quarry...
Okay, were deeper than they were going
because
back.
They had no stones going to the quarry, but the stones were filling the carts as they were leaving, and those deep ruts were on the left side of the road.
Ooh.
Okay. This could be what? Completely bogus, but...
It could be, but it's perfectly believable.
Which is good enough for us.
That's good enough.
So who's our winner?
Well, the winner is Robert Stucker from Kansas City, Missouri, and for having his answer selected at random from among the pile of correct answers that we got, Robert is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our four-show CD collection called four perfectly good hours. These are four shows that we picked because there was something particularly funny and memorable on each one of them.
Like the time a mole leaked us Bugsy's letters home from sleepaway camp from when he was a kid. Letters that accurately foreshadowed his later days on the free lunch circuit.
A nice juicy pizza, I think, was the key phrase.
Yeah, when you pick me up, Mom, ask Dad to bring a nice juicy pizza.
Anyway, this collection of four classic Car Talk shows can be yours, Robert, if you want it, for being this week's puzzle winner, and I have to say congratulations to you.
Good work. Anyway, we have a brand new automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today. That's it's kind cool. of... automotive, I guess. So don't go anywhere just yet. In fact, if you have a question about your car or anything, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Emily from Rochester, New York.
Emily, you scared me.
Did I worry?
You woke him up. He was just dozing off.
I was dozing. What's up?
Well, here's my problem. I drive a 97 Volkswagen Golf, and it does this thing where when I first start driving it, I'll come to, like, the first corner or the first stoplight I'm at, and I'll have my foot on the brake, and I'll go to move my foot to the gas, and when I put my foot on the gas, the car does this miserable, like, lunging forward thing, and it's violent, and the RPMs go up, and it just, like, straight into the intersection, and it's only in the first, like, 10 minutes of my driving, and I can't figure out why it does that. It's automatic, so...
It leaps forward.
Yeah, exactly. It's very violent. It's like, bang, and it's just, the whole car just jumps. So.
Even when you just step on the gas gently?
Even when I just step on the gas gently. I've managed to find a way to take my foot off the gas, the brake very lightly, so that I can almost, and I can feel when it's going to do it. Like, I can feel when it's going to start to jump. So I keep my foot on the brake a little bit, and I can control it almost. But sometimes it sneaks up on me, and it just, like, throws my car forward.
And then after it warms up for a few minutes...
Exactly. It goes away within the rest of my drive, and it's just, yeah.
Do you park in a driveway or on the street at your house?
Well, I live in an apartment complex, so, like, you know, I don't park in a garage. I park in a lot, so.
In a lot.
Right.
And when you start out in the morning, you start up the car.
Uh-huh.
You're backing up?
Yep.
When you put it in reverse.
It does not do it going into reverse.
Hmm.
Oh, the silence.
Well, that's why I'm asking the questions here.
Have you ever heard the expression, silence is golden?
I mean, hopefully it will be, right?
If you don't know anything, why open your mouth and prove it?
Well, here's what I think it is.
Okay.
I think you have a sticky throttle.
A sticky throttle?
Yeah, and it's probably sticky because it's all carboned up.
I'm going to like this. Okay.
And so what happens when the engine is cold especially is the throttle is more prone to sticking. And then as it warms up and the throttle expands, the hole, the actual hole where the throttle plate resides gets bigger.
Okay.
Then the sticking is, the condition is ameliorated. But the reason it lunges is that what you don't realize, I don't think, is that when you start pressing on the pedal, even though the pedal is moving, nothing's happening for the first... you know, inch or so that pedal moves. What you're really doing is pulling on that cable, which is actually spring-loaded.
Okay.
And then...
Bada-bing.
The stuck throttle releases, and whoom, the thing shoots through the intersection.
Okay.
And then you finally get it under control, and after the thing runs for a few minutes and it's warmed up, the condition goes away.
That sounds exactly like what would be happening, because for the rest of my ride, it's smooth. It's just that warming up part and, you know, the first couple stops.
I think I happen to think it's brilliant, actually.
I like it.
I think, yeah, I'm very impressed.
And it also means that I'm going to just take a wild guess here.
Okay.
The distance to the next light is much further than the distance to
the
house.
See, this is how you always get us. This is how you always get us. Shut up while the shutting up is good.
You're going
to try. What happened to the silence is golden thing?
It was boring. Is it true?
We had Emily eating out of our hand. And all of a sudden she's going to go away thinking what a couple of dodos we are.
Is it true that the distance to the second light is considerably further than the distance from your apartment to the first light?
Yes, usually.
Yippee!
Thank God.
Yeah. Because I noticed it at the first corner. When I come out at the first corner, just...
Yeah, big deal. Who cares? All right, see you later. Well, Emily, take it to the shop.
Okay.
And actually, it would be ideal to leave it overnight. so they could experience the thing. But if you can't do that, or if they refuse to experience it, ask them to, at the very least, clean the throttle.
Okay. And so this shouldn't cost me, you know, thousands of
dollars.
No.
Not even hundreds.
No, not even.
Decades. We're talking decades here.
Yeah, less than $50. They will take the snorkel off and they'll clean it with a solvent.
Fabulous.
And it may not fix it, but it should improve it enough to let you know that that's what it is.
Okay.
And to keep you from being a candidate on Stump the Chumps.
All right.
See you, Emily.
Great. Thanks a bunch, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK. When a brilliant answer comes out, you can't go
messing around with it.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be any fun, would it? It would throw everything into question if she had answered no. If she said, the next light is only half as far. It would throw everything into question. And you're going to be sure, man. If you're going to go giving out advice to people and they think it's right, you have a moral obligation to make sure that you haven't screwed up.
Can I do the show alone next week?
I don't know what came over me.
1-888. I'd do much better if you were 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
See, my job here is to keep you on the straight and narrow.
Evidently.
Because you obviously are willing to go along with an answer that sounds okay.
I'll tell him anything.
Whereas I am interested in truth, justice, and the American way.
God, I got Superman with me. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jeff from Berkeley, California.
Jeff with a J?
Jeff with a G.
Gee, excellent.
It's the English-Australian version.
Oh, yes,
exactly.
I should have known by your accent.
Yeah.
Of course we did. Where are you really from, Jeff?
Sydney, Canberra, Melbourne, all over the East Coast of Australia.
All of them?
Yep.
Excellent.
Oh, so you must have been in the Australian equivalent of the Witness Protection Program. They finally shipped you to Berkeley. So what can we do for you?
I've got an 84 Volkswagen Vanagon that now and then makes a loud knocking noise from the rear left wheel area. And the noise comes and goes, but it tends to go away completely the closer I get to any mechanic. So it might be there for about 3 or 4 miles, and then it goes away for 6 or 7. But when it's there, the length of time between each knock gets shorter the faster the car goes. It doesn't seem to depend on the engine speed. And different mechanics have suggested all sorts of things: CV joints, axle, ball bearings, brakes.
Does it the noise initiate when you start moving the car after it's been sitting, like, overnight? Is it more likely to happen then?
No. It can just come while I'm after I've been driving for 3 or 4 miles. Can just start.
Jeff's going to be difficult. All right.
So, does it ever happen when you first start off in the morning?
Only if it had been there when I stopped the night before.
This is sort of like I've Got a Secret.
Yeah.
You remember that show?
Yeah, I don't think Jeff's going to give us divulge any information.
You want an answer, but it's not there.
Yes, okay. So, otherwise...
Well, there's not a lot back there. I mean, you have brakes... and it's unlikely that that's the cause of it, because by this, I trust it's been going on for a while. By this time, something would have burned up.
It's been going on for about 4 or 5 months as long as I've had it.
And it's a big, heavy, clunking noise, or it's just a knock, 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 knock?
Who's there?
Yeah, it's a pretty heavy knock.
And if you speed up, it goes...
You've got it.
I think you must have, because this is an 84, it's a rear-wheel drive vehicle. And you must have a bad CV joint back there, a bad axle.
Yep.
And the fact that it comes and goes means that one of the balls in the CV joint is getting shifted around once in a while. I bet you if you study this more, you'll find out that the beginning of the noise is almost always coincident with having done something else, like you've gone over a big bump or through a pothole, something that's changed the geometry.
Yeah, I've been fiddling around and finding that sort of thing out.
Ah, he's coming around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you need to, if it's on the driver's side, you can buy a rebuilt axle fairly cheaply.
Sometimes, actually, I can hear it on both sides.
You can buy two rebuilt axles fairly cheaply.
Yeah.
But you must have 150,000 miles on this thing.
Actually, I bought it 6 months ago, and I bought it with a broken odometer, so it's not clear how far it's gone.
What does it say, though?
38,000.
Oh, well, that sounds about right. But I think you're in the market for a couple of new axles.
Okay.
Good luck, Jeff.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, do you know what time it is now?
Time to book our bikini waxes for South Beach?
No, not quite yet. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was any good.
Why didn't you just say exhumed? I mean, why fool around, dig up a caller? We assume we gave bad advice and he's dead. Oh, well, no. Who's our lucky player this week?
It's Kelly from Syracuse, New York. Remember Kelly?
No, go ahead. Fill
well,
me in.
Well, Kelly called us back in May with a car/relationship problem. Her boyfriend, Diego, was looking for a car. Her mother had a Ford Escort to sell, and she wanted to know if it was okay to mix family and used car sales.
Oh, I do remember.
My advice to you is stay the heck out of it.
So I should stay
the
out?
The car, you don't know anything about the car. You mentioned the car to him, but what do you know? Your mother already made a deal with her boyfriend. The car is gone. Diego, you're going to have to find your own damn car.
No, sell him the car. Here's my advice. Sell him the car. Let the chips fall where they may. Whatever happens, happens. Charge him as much as you can possibly get for the car, because I think he's going to get the car and run anyway. That's my advice.
It's like a litmus test for the relationship.
Absolutely a litmus test. Yeah.
Well, okay. You do what you think is best, Kelly. But I know
and I'm glad that we were able to help.
Thank you very much.
You know, I bet she did it. It's just a feeling that I have. She had already brokered the deal when she called us.
Well, I think that's fine. I mean, the guy needed a car. The mother had a car. I mean, why not?
Why not? Talk about baggage. You want the ghost of your mother-in-law hanging around every time you drive your car?
Well, let's see what Kelly did. Kelly, are you there?
Hi.
Look at...
You don't sound too happy.
Before we find out what happened, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true, Kelly?
That's true.
And is it true that the answer you're about to give us here on the Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or by the free personal ad that we gave you?
That's absolutely correct.
So what happened?
Well, we went through with it and sold him the car.
I knew it! And how's it working out?
Well, so far, we're still together, and the car is still running.
Yay!
There are some complications, though.
Oh, fill us in.
Well, he does complain about the long hairs and the woman smell in the car.
The woman's smell?
Yeah, he says it smells like girls.
Smells like girls. He doesn't like that.
Yeah, he's got a problem with that? But has anything major gone wrong with the car yet?
No, I don't think so. It so far seems so good.
Well, that'll be the true test, you know.
How many months has he had the car now?
He's had it since June.
And you're still talking to each other?
We're still talking. He even made a couple of surprise visits up to see me in the car.
Excellent. Is he still
talking? Yeah, he was coming up to visit his other girlfriend.
Yeah, right.
Is he still talking to your mother?
Oh, yes.
Well,
they're both here getting along fine so far.
Well, I have to say that you were very, very fortunate.
And courageous.
Because that was a very dangerous move.
And I'm glad we recommended it.
Well, I felt more confident after talking to you guys.
Well,
that's
great.
Yeah, see, false confidence will always get you in trouble. Anyway, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Kelly.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
All right, look, we got to take a little break.
Why?
The temperatures. I mean, it's brutal outside. It's not fair of us to go on so long without providing a break.
What are you, nuts? All the listeners don't listen to the show outside at this time of year.
I wasn't thinking of the listeners. I'm worried about the protesters. There are 30 of them turning blue out in front of the station.
All right, put the signs down for a minute, guys. We're going to make you some hot chocolate, and we'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more calls in just a minute.
Electric car on road so dark, to change the end, rewrite the start. Electric car, so good so far. Electric car on verdant green, invent a turn, invent a dream. Electric car, the new machine.
Let's take a ride in an electric car to the west side in an
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. I got a letter about 4 or 5 years ago with a very interesting Puzzler suggestion on it.
Did you read it 4 or 5 years ago, or you just read it the other
day? No, I read it 4 or 5 years ago, and I put it in a safe place. And I
forgot.
I can't find it, but I remembered enough about the letter to be able to reconstruct.
Go ahead.
When something like this. Four of us had been working as missionaries in a small village in Africa, and we had found that our work was done, and we had to make our way to the next village, which was some 50 kilometers away. So we engaged one of the locals to take us in his Toyota Land Cruiser. So we put all of our belongings on the roof of the Toyota Land Cruiser and tied everything up with ropes, and we began our journey. On a road that's not ever traveled by anyone. And we were surprised, in fact, to see another vehicle coming the other way. And trying to do the courteous thing, we pulled off onto the shoulder or the soft sand on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And let the other vehicle pass amidst a lot of waving and horn blowing and whatever. As luck would have it, our driver stalled the engine trying to pull out of the sand and back onto the road.
Mm.
And when he went to restart it, it wouldn't start. The starter was dead. Try as we may, we tapped on it, we began beating on it, we spit on it, we did everything, we cleaned the connections, but the starter motor had started for its last time. We thought, boy, we might be able to push start this thing because it's a standard shift vehicle, but we knew that there was no way we were going to get the thing push started in that sand, even though there were four of us. He said, oh, my God, what are we going to do? So we began looking through the Land Cruiser for things with which we could start it. And all we find is, in addition to our suitcases, which are tied up on the roof, we find a bumper jack, the kind that's used to jack up, you know, one wheel of the car to change a flat tire, and about 30 more feet of rope that we had used to tie the suitcases on the roof. By this time, night was coming on fast.
Yeah.
The buzzards were beginning to circle. The hyenas were closing
in. The imagery here is very good, you know. I'm right there.
You can hear the monkeys. And our driver thinks for a minute. We're in a panic, of course, because we forget.
Because you're just missionaries.
If one or more of us start to walk, the creatures of the night are going to get us.
Yeah.
We can't wait for another vehicle to come by. It might be days before someone comes by to help us.
So the driver...
The driver says...
Buona.
Exactly.
Buona, dude. Yeah?
I have a plan. And with what I've told you, can you figure out a way to start the truck and get it going? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a...
Are all four wheels in the sand or only two?
All the whole thing is in the sand. All four wheels are in the sand.
Bummer.
If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on a custom-designed wine cellar with 216 bin table oak rolling ladder system, self-contained refrigeration unit, and a 360-degree airtight seal. And send to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com. If you have a question right now about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
What, are you taking a shower?
Hello?
Yeah, are you washing dishes?
I am washing dishes.
Who's this?
Hi, this is Mara from Franconia, New Hampshire.
Mara, M-A-R-A?
Right.
What's up?
Well, I have a twofold problem.
Twofold?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Our tribe will expand from a family of three to a family of five any day now.
Oh.
Oh, really?
You are heavy with child?
I am heavy with two babies.
Children.
Yeah.
Two girls.
Really?
Cool.
And we're looking for a new vehicle that'll fit three car seats plus the rest of the circus.
Yeah.
And the problem is I'm morally opposed to SUVs.
Good.
And my husband would rather drive a horse and buggy than a minivan.
Oh, well, geez, that's too
tell
bad.
Tell him to saddle up.
Really? I tell you, I think he might feel differently if you test drove the vehicle that we're going to recommend.
Okay.
And I'm not even going to mention it. I'm just going to scribble it on a piece of paper here, and my brother is going to recommend the very same vehicle.
Okay, wait a minute.
Okay?
How do you spell caravan?
With a K? What did you write?
I wrote Honda Odyssey.
I wrote Honda Odyssey also.
Well, the second part of the dilemma is I love old cars.
All right.
Forget about
it. 95 Honda Odyssey.
You know, I'm thinking of a car like a VW bus or Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, well, stop thinking about that. Because you got three little kids and you can't put them in a death trap like an old VW microbus.
Right. My husband wants safety and reliability. I want something with a soul.
Mara, you gave up your soul the day you decided to have kids. I mean, forget about yourself.
It's too late now.
It's not about you anymore. For the next 20 years, it's about those three kids, and that's it.
Right, and by the time they grow up, your husband will be drooling on himself. So
then it'll be him.
You might as well get what you want. If you want a minivan, go for it.
You know, I'd rather drive a horse and buggy myself.
Yeah.
Than a minivan.
Oh, really? Jeez, well, I'm curious to know. I'll tell you, I have had several minivans.
Yeah. That's why no one speaks to you anymore. Yeah. We all know you went wuss.
Yeah.
You went wussy on us.
Does it say I'm dull? I just love the utility of a minivan. I mean, the fact that you can seat six or seven people if you need to, or
right.
You can take the seats out or reconfigure them to make room for, you know, that load of spring manure that you need for your strawberries. I mean, there are all kinds of uses that a minivan. I mean, yeah, they don't handle great and all that, but you know what? We're falling for the advertisers who are telling us, don't buy this, it isn't cool. A car is primarily a device which gets you from point A to point B, and we shouldn't lose sight of that.
I understand that it's practical. I just have to believe that, you know, you guys being the Dalai Lamas of the vehicle world, there has to be a compromise between being the epitome of, like, soccer mom to just having something that's kind of funky but reliable.
What's more important to you, not having an SUV or not having a Honda?
Definitely not having an SUV.
Yeah. So that's priority number one.
Absolutely. What about an old Volvo?
Well, you know, the truth is you can fit three car seats in a station wagon.
Right.
The back seat of a Volvo will take three car seats. So if you don't want to go the route of the minivan, you could go with a wagon.
But you know what? It's real tight.
It's real tight, and you wish. Because don't forget, right now you got one kid. How old is the kid you got now?
She just turned three.
She just turned three. She just got out of the terrible two. You're just almost thinking that you're human. And all of a sudden, you're going to start all over again. And life
Times
is going
to
and life is going to be very, very hectic. And the last thing that you need is more aggravation. And so you are going to, in 6 months, when you've been driving this Odyssey around, you are going to love the fact that you can stick those kids, you can separate them when they start sticking their fingers in each other's eyes. You can do anything, and you'll still have room in the way back to put groceries and all kinds of junk, and you are going to love the utility of the thing, and you will forget that it's a soccer mom car because you will have painted it with flowers all over the outside of it.
Hey, there's a solution.
Yeah. I think what you have to do is make it less of a boring thing by doing something to it. And the truth of the matter is the Odyssey, I think, is the least boring of the minivans.
Well, that's good to know. I haven't thought of that. I'll go and check it out.
Yeah, and your husband, and if you need someone to straighten out your husband on this, give us a call and we'll come up and lay a beat with
right. him. Right, and no, if we have to, we'll explain
you
to him where
he can dress warm.
Well, he can get the kit to put the flame decals on the side.
Sure, I mean, he'll be so busy reconstructing this vehicle to make it into something cool so that you don't have to go around hanging your head in shame that you succumbed to the minivan philosophy. And don't forget, you basically, when you had the first kid, you said minivans are on the horizon. And that's it. I mean, what can you do?
And I guess with twins on the way, I have to compromise somewhere.
Sure. I mean, you can't go around in a Miata anymore. That's it. Give it up. Give it up, Mara.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good, bye.
Well, I still remember the words of Mrs. Witten, who lived in the condo building that I lived in Brookline. And when she saw that Joanne was pregnant, we were at the mailboxes one day, and she said, "What are you doing?" Joanne said, "On about a month." And Mrs. Witten, who I didn't know she was such a deep philosopher, she said, "You have no idea how much your lives will change."
Yeah.
And those words have come back. That was 45 years ago. Those words have come back to us day after day.
Yeah, yeah, sure don't.
I warned my wife about having kids. I told her it was a bad idea.
1-888.
And one day when things were going especially bad, the kids were killing each other, she leans over and she whispers in my ear, "You were right." Don't let my kids hear that.
Yeah. No, no. But, I mean, if you didn't have kids, who would fight over your estate when you died? I mean, come on. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. You'd be like Royal Tenenbaum.
Did you see that movie, The Royal Tenenbaums?
Yeah, I did.
You know, I used to think that the best gravestone said, "I told them I was sick," until I saw that movie on TV again the other day, and I realized his gravestone said, "He died valiantly attempting to save his family from a sinking battleship."
That's pretty good.
Who is this?
This is Peter from West Milton, Pennsylvania.
What's up?
Here, I got this thing. I've got this terrific three-bay, two-story garage.
Ooh.
And sometime last summer, I left the garage door open, and bats got in. And I know that since they're pooping all over the place.
Oh.
So, what do you think of me starting all three cars, closing the doors with the remote, and letting the cars idle for about 30 minutes?
I suspect that, first of all, it's a cruel and unusual treatment, and secondly, I probably won't work.
Really?
Well, because it's such a big space.
Yeah, it is. It's a big garage.
How many bats do you have in there?
Oh, probably about a half dozen.
Gee, I wish we had contact with our bat expert.
Well, you know,
on our staff, we have a bat expert. Actually, a friend of a friend has a PhD in Batmanology or something. I don't know what it is.
Pipistrellism.
What?
Well, I made up the word. Pipistrello is the Italian word for bat.
Pipistrello?
Pipistrello.
Pipistrello.
So what about if I let the cars in there for an hour, let them idle?
Bats probably don't want to live in your three-bay, two-story garage. They would rather live in a cave.
So why don't you build a cave alongside the garage?
No, you might want to build or buy a bat house. I have a bat house, and it's mounted on a telephone pole.
Okay.
And they took them a long time to find it.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I keep putting up signs, but
this way to the bat house.
Well, they can't read. Blind as a bat.
So you think I should remove the screens from the skylights and just let them go out?
Let them go out, exactly.
Oh, you haven't done that?
Well, I tried. It just doesn't work. It seems like more come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know why?
They like my car?
They found the cave. But, you know, you might want to call your local extension service, you know. And tell them your dilemma.
What's an extension service?
You know, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has all these programs.
Yeah.
You know, they give away trees and whatnot. And,
good idea.
And tell them you got bats in the belfry there and see what they'll do for you.
Wait, have you ever tried putting a radio in there and playing it while our show was on?
All the time. Whenever I'm working there, it's always on.
And, I mean, usually that drives out everything.
Maybe the Saturday afternoon opera will do it.
Hey, you could do this, too. You could call the we have a great veterinary school here in Massachusetts. Tufts University has a veterinary school. You can call their wildlife department.
Okay.
And find out what they recommend.
Okay.
And they may recommend running the cars.
Who knows?
We don't know, but we don't want to recommend it. We're already in enough trouble with everybody.
Yeah, I think I would be too.
And you don't really want to get rid of them. They do eat their weight in mosquitoes like every day.
Yeah, but they poop on the cars. And that's what I don't, I mean.
Well, you know, you can convert bat guano into a
gold.
Fuel.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you may be able to run the cars on it. Anyway, good luck, Peter.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And in the meantime, cover up the cars because you'll never get that stuff off.
All right, good.
See
Thank
ya.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Tough calls this week. Well, it's happened again.
Pipistrello, huh?
You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Emily Mackey and Ariel Niedermeyer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Santa Rita, Mini Pita, Beef Fajita, Aged Velveeta, Loin of Cheetah, Peach Granita, and Cream of Wheata Diet Pita, it's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Hayward Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our emergency preparedness director is Edna Sand. Our gambling addiction counselor is Althea Andresia. Our rock and roll historian is Bruce Wade Hughes. Our bedtime storyteller is Juan Zapata Time. Our auto seat tester is Fitz Matush. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz. Our Russian chauffeur is Peikoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Yu Jess. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the tenured barflies in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And by the way,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1105, hustle through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week on the web, an advanced class in killing time.
That's right. We know that the internet has only one real purpose. Well, two, but we're not going to talk about the other one. The main purpose of the web for us is to help you kill time at work.
Right. We're at your service.
That's why Car Talk's Facebook page is particularly active during regular business hours.
So make this week an unproductive one.
Yeah, wander over to Facebook this week and spend a little time at the Car Talk page.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Baby Doc Duvalier can't believe we have the nerve to show up again whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.